So on TikTok, remember I had the whole bear man in the forest deal? So I saw one that is being posed to men. It is not the same as far as like depth, really. But I still wanted to ask you guys because it's fun. I think I know the answer for all of you. But the question is, would you rather talk about your feelings to a woman or a tree?
Or a tree?
Or a tree.
And there's nothing specific, right? Not a specific person, just a woman in general.
Just a woman in general. Would you rather talk about your feelings to a woman? Just a random woman? Imagine you're in a forest and you want to talk about your feelings. Would you rather there be a woman there to talk about your feelings to, or would you rather talk to a tree?
A woman.
A woman? Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, because talking to a tree, to me, that's just me thinking the thoughts that I already know without any feedback, you know?
Well, I have spoken to trees before. I've dabbled, but I like speaking with women. I am an emotional creature, and I like to deal with my, I like to speak my emotions out so I can then use logic, and I enjoy speaking with women. But I do love talking to trees. I'm curious what the back and forth on this is.
Yeah.
Because I do love, I love nature. Cody?
I don't know, because at first I would immediately say woman just because having a human connection with somebody, even if it's just me sharing my feelings, means that I can get other people's perspectives and they can consider things that I haven't seen before. But on the other hand, how much of me talking about my feelings is going to be me having to justify or rationalize my feelings in a way that somebody else can understand? Because I don't have any problem with sharing feelings. I talk to you guys about my feelings all the time. If something's bothering me, I'm pretty straightforward about it. Same with you, Felicia. Like, we always, we're very open in our communication on how things make us feel. But, if, you know, it just kind of depends on the person, woman or otherwise, because it's like, if I have to sit here and you're irritating and annoying and you don't actually give a shit about listening to me, then I'd much rather have the tree. But because at least then I can voice my opinions out loud, and maybe just me hearing me say things, then I can go, well, that's a lot darker now that it's not in my head, you know, like maybe I ought to let that go, or that sounds ridiculous when I say it out loud.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess the committally, it would be like to talk to another person. Because I would just, you know, it wouldn't annoy me at first. It's if we have to explain, if I have to explain the same concept or why I feel a way over and over again, or if I have to like rationalize it. I don't want to tell somebody how I feel on something and have them be like, well, that's really fucked up because they're misconstruing it. And it's like, well, no, it's not. It's this. And then just have them refuse to try to see my perspective. And it's just like, a tree wouldn't argue with me about my the validation of my feelings.
That's the thing. Of course, it's finding the right person to talk to about your feelings.
Yeah. I feel like the question, or like the discourse around this one is really more about like, and the reason why it's being asked to men is to have them think about like their emotional vulnerability, like to see how vulnerable they will allow themselves to be, I guess. I mean, for me, I'll be honest, I'd rather talk to a tree. I don't like that. I don't like the vulnerability. Now, again, Cody and I do talk about that kind of stuff often, but when we do talk about it, and I feel like for this is the same for both of us, we don't really get emotional when we're talking about our feelings. We talk about them very straightforward, so we can get an understanding of them and try not to bring the emotion into it. Sometimes it happens, of course, but
I'm an emotional beast.
A lot of times,
that's me, not Cody speaking. Just in case.
A lot of times
I can't hold back tears.
I have difficulty actually feeling the emotions of my feelings if I'm talking to someone else because I'm guarded. So for me, I would rather talk to a tree because then I wouldn't feel so guarded, because I'd have no one there to actually perceive my feelings and my emotions. And I think that's what the question is, like just checking to see how, and I'm like, you know,
The question strikes me as how much do you subscribe to the societal pressure that men aren't supposed to feel feelings?
Yeah.
Because that is very prevalent.
I have another bit of like my question to it. Number one, my reason to speak into the trees, I'm sure, is different than that discourse, but also me as a man, I want to be perceived, but I feel like my emotions have not been perceived as a man. Like if I think the real bear discourse would be, as a man, do you feel like anyone cares?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I feel like that comes, so I'm like, yes, please talk to me, but also take me seriously.
It reminds me of
the trees. They don't make me feel bad.
I don't remember the entirety of the context, but basically it was about whether or not, this is a man who's married, has a daughter, right? So it's the three of them living together, him and the two girls. And then he was talking about how he, you know, does not allow himself to show emotional vulnerability, doesn't allow himself to break down or to appear weak at all around them. And the, whether or not it's true, the perspective that he has is, the two women that I have at home that I care for would rather see me die in my saddle than watch me fall from it.
Can you explain that to me?
They would rather me be a stoic hero, even if it cost me my life, than to see me survive and be pitifully weak and emotional.
Yeah, I feel like that's something, at least for me, it was like ingrained in my brain, and I've had to like work against that.
There is a lot of that too. I mean, it happened with my parents too. Like, there was, so my dad for a while was, you know, kind of job hopping and struggling, and one of the things he ended up doing was selling cars, right? And he hated it. He's always been a salesman, but he just hated something about that. And he told me there was one day where he just like, God, he really just didn't want to do it. And he was like standing on the porch about to go to work and just like didn't want to go. And he was like pretty much like on the verge of tears, if not in tears, at how much he hated the prospect of doing this. And my mom came out and she was like, you need to man the fuck up and go do your job because you have a job to do. And that's not my mom being harsh. My dad needed that dose of reality right there. But like, that's very much a kind of, I feel like that's the norm, is just being like, man up is a thing that's not just used by men. That's a thing that comes around that's just like, what are you doing? You should be a man here and you should be doing man things. That's kind of the on your saddle versus falling off moment, is like, I know that this sucks and you hate it, but you're not allowed to be a human being right now. You're supposed to be a man. So go do the man thing.
You don't get that from
called.
Huh? I was going to say, you don't get that from me, do you?
No.
Oh,
no, it's a society thing.
Because we treat each other like people.
Yeah, that's.
I do like the man up thing. It doesn't I don't see it as specifically for men. I see it as take responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that is man up is because it's what men should do. The fact that it's applicable other places is like secondary to the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just when they're just like anything, they're parts of the man up sphere that are just toxic and bad. And it's not good for the human. And it's like, yeah, it can, because I say the things like, what is it? You don't have balls, like things like that. Just using the sexuality I'm losing my words.
To evoke emotion.
Yeah, and just like putting men and women in different boxes because man is the word that's being used.
It's tough because I think that from an individualist standpoint that, you know, quote unquote, toxic masculinity is bad for the individual. However, I think that toxic masculinity is good for the society, because if you don't take men and make them do the roles that they're supposed to do in order to uphold that pillar of society, then that part of society collapses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, it's,
if we don't,
it's weird, the pressures, like we've got to do anthill stuff. We have to do worker ant stuff to live and thrive. So it's just, it's weird that our human brains can like say no to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to, I mean, I do kind of actually, I guess, undermine your analogy, but worker ants are all female.
Yeah, no, this, I just mean, just, purely because we do have the ability as humans to be like, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. But like other creatures don't.
Yeah, the ants that don't work get kicked out or killed.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, like man up is like the softer version of that.
Now, I get that aspect of it that somebody, like, people need to do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get where toxic masculinity is a good thing in that.
Well, the reason I say quote unquote toxic masculinity is because there's a lot of it that gets put under an umbrella term that isn't that toxic. Mm-hmm. There's some stuff that is definitely toxic, but again, that's what I'm saying. It depends on what we're talking about. There's, you know, certain poisons are good for you. There are certain medicines that are poisons that are used to treat certain things. I mean, radiation therapy for cancer is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. You have to poison the body, or you have to poison the cells to save the body. So some of the people have to have that shit thrown in their face. And while it hurts on the individual level, and that as a whole is probably not good for a society, there is an equal need for that for the whole.
I guess I'm curious what is under the toxic masculinity umbrella that is not actually toxic.
Getting people to do what they need to do.
I guess like coaches in sports, though, they can go too far. You know, like people can always take stuff way too far.
I think for me, what I would consider toxic masculinity is the stuff of like, don't cry. You know, like, oh, damn it, what's that movie called? But, you know, there's no crying in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is toxic.
Yeah.
Because, like...
Yeah,
cry if you have to.
Yeah, I'm a believer in let it out because it's killing you on the inside.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, and that's the toxic part because it's like, what good is the man if he's not here anymore?
Or like
because he stuffed stuff down too much.
Or the thing like, I mean, more baseball, but like you throw like a girl, like using like that kind of stuff, that kind of language is the toxic stuff. You can encourage people to do the things that need to be done without using like toxic masculinity is how I feel about it. So I wouldn't say that is like the toxic, what's the word I'm looking for? Way of speaking is necessary for that kind of stuff, especially like where we are now. I feel like a lot, like for instance, in our household with me working,
mm-hmm.
like I know that I need to do what I need to do, and I know that y'all are supporting me, but there was never a discussion between the three of us that was like, you know, y'all need to man up and get a job, or Felicia, you need to man up and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's I feel like where we are now, at least our generation and like the younger generation, Gen Z. I don't know about Gen Alpha. I haven't talked to Gen Alpha. They're children.
Yeah, who knows?
But there's a lot more, like, I feel like discussion is a lot, becoming a lot more easier between genders, or sexes, that is a lot easier to have those conversations of deciding who's going to do what needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
rather than it being a role that is being pressured.
So what I get definitely what you're saying, like with our household situation, stuff like that. Like there was never a discussion of, you know, telling any of us we needed to man up or whatever, but we also weren't pushed to the point where that had to happen. Nobody was like pissing and moaning and crying and being like, I don't want to get a job. I don't want to fucking do it. I don't want to. And then having to be forced. But that's like when it's appropriate is like, when you have somebody in the moment that you need to push and you need them to do it, I think that, you know, aside from, you know, physical abuse, that almost all means of getting that person to a place in which they will be a better person, I think that there's a place for toxic masculinity there. And in that case, if it's a poison that helps somebody get better than they were before, is it really toxic?
Yeah, see, I mean, that's life. There's always got to be the bad because I wouldn't consider myself a good person unless I learned what the other side was. So,
yeah. I mean, there's also plenty of people that we worked with that just sucked in the beginning and were bad. And I had to pull them aside and give them a real shit talking to and be like, you need to, you know, I wasn't being toxic per se, but like I was putting them in a spot where I was like, look, dude, you're awful. You're bad at this. You're not going to cut it if you keep doing this. What's going on with you and what do you need to do? Because I need you to do this. And either you can do that or you can get out.
See, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that is necessary, but
somebody could consider that toxic. My male boss pulled me into a room by myself and then berated me and told me either to get better or quit.
Well,
maybe,
yeah,
but you use good verbiage.
Yeah, you use that's the thing. I feel like that's the difference. Is you're not like taking what's his face that was like throwing a fit about the fact that he doesn't know how to cut onions into the walk in and telling him like you're not a man because you don't know how to cut onions. You know, you took him down there and you're like, you're kind of shit at what you do. Mm-hmm. You are shit at what you do, and
you're not good enough at this to be talking the way
you're not
talk.
Good enough at what you think you're good at to be talking to any of us this way when it's your third day on the job.
Yeah.
So you can shut up. And because like he was being toxic. Mm-hmm. He was having toxic masculinity where he was talking back to me because I was training him. Mm-hmm. And you took him down there and you're like, no, dude, she can do this better than you, which is why she's training you. So you can either actually listen to the people that are training you or you can leave.
Yeah, that's about a perfect example, right?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one right there.
That's a bad time to use toxic masculinity. I'm not saying that we should use it all the time. That's a guy who uses it all the time. Terrible.
There's an energy behind it that is such, but if, you know.
You also don't take penicillin for headaches. Like, you take the appropriate medicine for the appropriate moment.
I think the thing you're talking about, Cody, is called something different. It's not toxic masculinity because that's a specific thing that's just not a good quality.
The toxic is when they take what you're saying and then they're like, you know what, hey scrawny boy,
yeah, you're talking about
big man, hey woman, do woman thing.
Yeah, you're talking about reality checks. That's what I think. I don't think you're talking about, I don't think it's toxic.
And everybody needs more of those.
My problem is that
time and place is so wrong these days.
Toxic masculinity is not clearly defined to where somebody like me can just know off the bat what it means.
Yeah.
And what it means to me is completely different from what it means to somebody else. Because like the way that I talk to people, I try to treat people like human beings first, always. I don't care if you're 30 years older than me or 30 years younger than me. It's like you are a human being. You have or will have the same struggles that I have, and we are equal as a result. Nobody's better than me. Nobody's worse than me. Some people are better than me at things, and I'm better than some people at things, but not inherently better. And that's my philosophy, and so that influences how I talk to people. Now, however, that doesn't mean that if I see somebody that's like fucking up and like really in a bad spot, if I think that I need to go to them and be like, if I need to be toxic in order to save this person, then I think it's called for. Like, it's the right tool for the right job, you know?
No, that's
I guess I can see what you're saying. Sorry, also I laughed because you're saying 30 years younger than you, so I imagine you taking a toddler down to the walk-in like, you suck at this.
Listen here,
I've been watching you walk for 20 minutes now, and you fucking suck.
You are shit.
Get your shit together or get out of your house.
Goddamn bobblehead.
But no, I get what you're saying.
Those are good things.
I think I'm getting what you're saying, but I do feel like that's because of the world we were brought up in and having to like where we are, especially mm-hmm. as millennials, interacting with people older than us and younger than us. There are times where it feels like you need to use that kind of verbiage for people that are older than you because that's how they,
especially with the people from the generation before us, the ones that grew up in the heyday of toxic masculinity.
You gotta lock into some old school shit.
It's like, I have to go back to being on like my fucking CYO soccer team and think of all the visceral shit that we used to say in order to deal with this guy who would have been like a dad at one of those games, because it's like that's the world he comes from.
Listen to your pipsqueak.
We're both thinking
all right,
of the
boss.
Same guy.
We are thinking of the same guy, but like that's how it has to go. Like,
but
some people just react to it better and others, and you just have to learn to read people. But yeah, I just think it's a tool.
It does feel really good though, because there was a time that I had to take Chef into the walk-in and I had to do the same thing. But
the toxic is when people do that for no reason.
I didn't have to use any of that verbiage. I just told them, hey, if you keep acting the way that you're acting, I swear to God, everyone is going to quit and you are not going to have any staff.
Yeah. I mean, if you just saw a dude walking down the street firing off a nail gun, then you'd be like, you're a fucking moron. What the fuck are you doing? Like, in this scenario, that nail gun is masculinity. That's a guy being toxic with it. It's bad. Yeah. But like when it calls for it, you should be able to use it appropriately.
Yeah. I think so and agree.
All things in moderation.
Yeah. And that's the issue. It's God, we just want to put everybody in their box. It is this way or that way. No gray, no, none of the in-betweens. It's just this and that. Clipped out of context in real time.
Isn't that a Torag thing where you use people's weapons against them?
Yes.
Is it?
Let me see. That's one of his edicts, is using your opponent's weapons against them, or using their strength against them.
Yeah, Torag's hardcore.
I'm trying to find the thing you're talking about, Torag. I can't find it. It's probably the first edition.
Oh, well, you know, whatever.
I have no idea. Yeah, Torag uses offensive maneuvers as a form of defense.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it be.
That's what Rootmore was doing. The best time in the world to use those bursts.
Dude, that's crazy.
There's really no other time to do it.
You're lighting up the sky from the ground.
Welcome back, guys. Last time we were playing, you made your way to the graveyard at the behest of the screaming and panicked Varen. Find the gates swelling with the undead. You make your way into the graveyard and you make short work of the zombie troop before beginning to investigate the graveyard. Before long, you note that there are several fresh graves dug from what you assume to be some kind of accident or something that led to multiple deaths, as there are 6 graves marked for a week prior to your visit. As you begin to investigate, one of you has the idea to dig up the grave and investigate. And so you do. And as you are examining the corpses, nothing seems too out of place at first. You find a rather shiny and magical-looking dagger that ends up being a +1 striking dagger before the corpse's hand reaches up and grabs you, dragging you into a zombie fight, and as you make short work of that one and deal with the second, 3 more burst forth from their graves. And here we are in the middle of initiative, and it is the beginning of round 3. I had to think for a second. Beginning of round 3, and it is one of the newer zombies' turns first. That would be the one right next to you, Monet, who is going to reach up from its little hole in the grave and try to swipe at your legs.
Oh.
Not good.
Pretty good. How's a 25 treat you?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yikes. Okay. Just a claw, not too bad. That's going to be 5 points of... No, I'm sorry. Yes, 5 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Ain't bad.
And as this thing is like kind of clambering and clawing at you from the grave, it tries to pull itself closer to you, like pulling your ankle up towards its mouth as it tries to bite your leg as well. Natural 20.
Oh my god.
Not good!
So for a total of a 24.
Yep, that's a hit.
Okay, so double damage on this. This one is a bite. Not the best. 13 points of piercing damage.
Oh, I forgot my laptop charger at home. We're gonna have to start this episode over.
Start it over because of that?
I gotta go, and we're just gonna have to start this over.
Yeah, I get that. Don't forget about your PP.
Hell of a frickin' start, Cody.
Thank you. For the zombie's final action, as it bites into the flesh of your leg, it will begin to feast, tearing off a small strip of your flesh, which does 1 point of slashing damage. And you almost see, like, the creature seems to be emboldened slightly as it begins to feast on your flesh.
I don't care.
Such a gross word in this context.
Emboldened.
Feast.
Oh, okay.
I don't care if it feels emboldened.
Well, it's your turn next, Monet.
Slap him! Whack-a-mole!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Monet is going to take a damn step back, first and foremost. And then she will summon her whirling grindstone right there. And I assume... that if I summon it right there, that it should still hit it since it could hit me from its hole?
Yes.
I'm upset. Okay.
Why is that?
Because you don't like me.
That's not true at all.
I would think if you zoom in on the picture of these animated corpses, they do look pretty gross, Cody.
Thank you.
I'd be upset if
I didn't draw them.
I'd be upset if I got hit by one of these too. And by the way they're crouched, they might have ups.
Yeah.
Chopping off their arms might not be good enough to get them to stay in the holes.
Yeah, they're squatting like a frog.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You have seen some of them so far, like they like almost twist and contort their flesh until they go down on all fours in a very like feral-like stance.
27.
Yeah, dude.
Is...
smashing.
Not good for me. That is a critical hit.
Yes.
Yeah. Dude. Okay.
Yes, finally.
Okay, so I'm going to do 2d6 slashing damage and 1d6 fire damage. Or double on a critical. Oh, I need more dice.
Here, this can be your fire.
Thank you.
So how much are you rolling all together?
66.
Whoa, okay.
Goof.
And this is just your normal elemental blast?
No, this is whirling grindstone.
Oh, okay, your fireball.
Chop him to bits, to ribbons!
End him.
What yeah, I think you're gonna kill it.
I don't think so.
Ah! Ah!
I was very surprised that wasn't my die.
Oh my god. That's so shit, dude. Damn. I'm never using dice from friends ever again.
Hey! I'm sorry?
Both of you had one.
That's true.
That is 11 slashing, 2 fire.
Okay, so as your whirling grindstone begins to spin and hack away at this creature, you can see immediately it just like rips a big chunk of flesh off of the creature. As it begins to spin and grind away at him, those like throbbing pustules that are all over this thing's upper torso and face are ground away, and it splashes this sickly, almost neon green looking ichor just into the air in like a 5-foot spread around it. Thankfully, you step back, and so it splashes harmlessly on the grindstone and on the ground around it.
Oh, I hate that.
Anything else from you, Monet?
Nope, that's her. That's her turn.
Well, that makes it the second one to have burst forth, sir. And he lets out a shrill shriek before you can hear the creaking and snapping of bones, and the creature emerges from the hole on all fours.
Ah! You know what?
It's going to do... Okay, I can leap right here. So this one just shrieks and rocket jumps out of the grave and lands with a thud, a sickening crack. And you can see like one of its limbs is like, it broke a bone landing next to you as it lashes out.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
You're upset with me. We can talk
about it. I'm not upset with you. You just happened to be there. It was going to go somewhere completely different, but from a jump, it can't reach you. So, sorry.
We can talk about that. We can just talk about it.
Why are you in front?
Really quick, was that a... what a skill was that? Athletics to jump?
Yes, it was. For a total of a 25.
And was that a critical success?
On a 15-foot jump, yes.
Okay, never mind. Sorry. I've got an ability that I haven't used yet called Upstage. You know what it is.
Yeah, okay. Sick. I can see where I am.
I jump higher!
Sorry, but yes, I did.
I jump higher!
Yeah, on that one, you did critically succeed. Okay. Exactly.
Wow. Damn it. That jump was lame. I keep forgetting. I've had that since, like, level 2.
Dang.
Actually, you know what? Let me double check. Because I think I did that correctly.
15 sounds right.
No, not the DC. I need to double check his athletics. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he nails that. So he's got a plus 5 to his strength. He nailed the shit out of that.
Oh, wow.
The zombie lands, a quizzical look on his face as he stares into the sky, Rootmore soaring off into the moonlight.
You're being upstaged! Just the silhouette. In front of the moon.
I have no idea what upstage is.
So you hear this thud and sickening crack as this creature like almost seems to like collapse in on itself as it lands, and as it like slides through the dirt up to you that last like foot or so, its mouth opens wide and it tries to take a bite out of your other ankle.
Ankle biter!
Not a good roll. 13. So that'd be a miss.
No, that's it.
I dropped my guard.
All of my AC was in my other ankle.
The other one ate all of her armor off.
Rootmore, that's you. Up next.
Oh, fantastic.
Rootmore's going to continue playing whack-a-mole. He's going to step forward and swing down at the zombie that is still in the grave that attacked Monet with his warhammer. Oh, no. 20 to hit.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Also, you saying Rootmore is going to continue to play whack-a-mole, that sounded like a drop. It didn't sound like it was coming out of your mouth.
you came with such conviction with it. It was very good.
Take that, idiot. Oh, 15 bludgeoning damage.
15 bludgeoning, okay.
Straight on top of the head.
A massive hit and another sickening crunch as this creature's face is malformed now. Its head partially crushed in, but it's still wriggling as if its unlife is there.
That's gross. Stop.
I should have done a vicious swing. I thought it would die with a regular. Oh, fuck. Swing it again.
You wanna pull out your pee-pee or what?
I mean, at a minus 5, it's plus 10 to
pee
hit.
On
him. I think Rootmore can hit him with a plus 10.
Let's go.
Yeah, 27 to hit.
There critical hit.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, Rootmore.
Double up.
Rootmore.
Oh.
Come on, you got any bonk sounds?
Oh, I forgot. Thank you. That's 29 bludgeoning damage.
And with a final crunch and a sickening gurgle, the thing returns to death.
Yes!
Brutal. That's it.
You also forgot Monet's Beyblade sound.
Yeah, I don't have that set up.
Beyblade! They took away the... Where's the X? I don't see the ability to cross my creatures out.
Top right. By the colors.
Oh, it's hidden behind my zoom in. That's why. Oopsie.
The other one, Cody.
Oh, that's the one you were hitting.
Yeah.
I apologize. The first hit would have killed that one. You said the one that bit Monet. They both bit Monet, and that was the most recent one.
I meant the one still in the grave. He was swinging down at it.
Okay, well, let's backpedal then, because the 15 would have killed the first one.
Oh, shit.
Kill them both.
So 15 to that boy. And then do you want to make the second swing hit the other one?
Yeah.
And that was for how much?
29. 20-something? What?
I thought it was 29. Am I crazy?
26 or 29, something. One of those.
Either way, that is two kills.
Oh, yes!
Woo!
Oh, it's awesome.
Okay, my apologies.
Okay, so that leaves two standing?
Two standing.
Oh, I didn't see that there was another.
Yep, the one that... North. Rootmore said he was going to continue playing whack-a-mole and then walked away from.
Oh, I forgot. I didn't see that one either. Oh, no.
No, you made the right choice.
Okay.
Monet, you're crossed out.
Oh.
That's dead. Why I made the right
I
choice.
Died.
I died. All right. And that's it for you, Rootmore. So up next is going to be the last of the recently emerged, the one to the far south of you. You can hear more of that sickening crack, and then you see it slowly clambering out the top as it begins to make its way over to you. And as it gets closer and closer on all fours, it starts to pick up speed before it's like galloping on these limbs that are like stretching unnaturally to help it run with such speed on the ground. You can see its claws like digging into the soft earth of the graveyard as it kicks up and it launches itself at you, Rootmore, and its mouth is wide open, head first, like some kind of corpse bullet.
Ew.
Ooh, 24 to hit.
Uh-oh.
Huh?
That's a hit.
Dang.
I know he's got some good AC sometimes. I mean, 24 is pretty high.
Yeah. If I raised my shield, it wouldn't have hit.
It's okay, Rootmore.
Got greedy.
You're doing fine.
All right, maximum damage on the bite. 10 points of piercing damage.
Oh.
And that brings it to you, Scarab.
Would Scarab know if the... I don't remember if that zombie that's in the very top next to the dead one,
mm-hmm.
if that one came at the end or not. Has it been hit?
He's the one who's been here the longest, and he has been hit.
He was the one that was in the pit with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so...
And just a heads up from where he is, because he's in the grave and he's on all fours, he will get a partial cover bonus just from where you're standing.
Huh? No, he was on top of the headstone.
Oh, this guy?
Yeah.
You're right. I apologize. Never mind. Disregard. Okay. Sorry, guys. Sometimes we drink when we do these podcasts.
I don't think that's any excuse.
I don't think that's it. It's just a couple weeks or something.
Emma, just go to earlier and edit out the part where I said that, just so we can make Cody look real. Just say it real low and quiet so it doesn't get picked up on the microphone.
What?
That this is a ruse.
Yes, it's a ruse.
Scarab's terrified.
Tricky!
Tricky is going to be commanded to move forward 5 feet and slam its tusks into said tombstone zombie.
All right, let him have it.
What's his name? Johnny Ringo?
Don't name him.
You're right. Never mind.
Take it back.
I didn't say anything.
Don't you do it, Cody. Don't think of one.
I've been holding on to this one for a minute. I'm going to use the golden peepee that you gave Scarab for talking to Brass Nose.
Golden peepee. Scarab's golden peepee.
Okay, we got a natty 19 for a 30 to hit.
Critical hit.
Wowee.
Finally.
Look, I'll take the power of friendship. Can I get a D8?
For some reason, from
both of you, I'm sorry. I will take your D8 as well. Dang it!
Damn it!
I don't know if we've ever mentioned, but when we do this podcast, oftentimes we're drinking.
Oh my gosh!
Oh.
But it's funny because we're not doing that today, are we?
We had a shot.
Oh, okay. One shot.
I'm drinking.
I'm drinking.
Oh. Am I the only loser not drinking?
No, Matt's not drinking yet.
Okay.
Nah, it's hard for me to remember if I drank or not because of the delta. You know what I'm saying? Is this a one? I think that's a one. 20. I'm 31. Ooh. Damage.
Tricky rolls up, and as he rears down and flashes his tusks at this thing, it rips it in half, sending it flying in two different directions. However, the neon green ichor comes from this stabbing tusk motion as well, and so Tricky will take a small amount of poison damage, but the display is visceral and beautiful.
And beautiful.
1 point of poison damage.
Okay. Not persistent?
Nope.
Beautiful.
Just a one-off.
Love to see that. Okay.
Just a tasty splash.
Just went ahead and showered herself in all his goo, that's all.
Final two actions. Scarab's gonna start to pull himself together, see that his friends are getting hurt. He's going to reload his gun and fire at the one in front of Rootmore. 26 to hit.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
Let me double check. If it's a crit, that is a crit.
Oh, shit.
No way.
Oh, my God. I didn't even want
We're hearing
a, crit.
A lot of Zach today.
I know.
Yes, finally.
Scarab also pulls 31 points of damage out of his ass.
Damn.
Dude. Let's go.
Rootmore, you hear and feel at the same time a loud crack and a rush of heat, and where in front of you was this partially crumpled zombie, or the zombie that was gnawing at you, rather. There is now nothing. There is a spray of green, and before you realize it, the sound, the sensation, you suddenly feel a splash of green on you, and as do you, Monet. But the creature is exploded.
Rootmore opens his mouth.
Monet covers her ears. She covers her ears, and there's blood dripping down her arms, and she goes,
Rootmore, 3 points of poison to you. Monet, one to you.
Spicy.
Green ketchup!
One to Monet?
Yep, one poison damage.
Damn. Monet dies.
Dang, hate to see it.
Worse.
I'll see you guys next time.
Damn. That's my reaction. Damn.
Oh, there's like 40 more graves. You want to continue digging? Make 5 episodes out of this shit.
As you finish firing the shot.
Yeah.
That would bring us to the end of round three.
It would. Let's go.
And as you kind of like look around, waiting to see what else, you see another hand burst forth from that last grave. As another one of these, like, festering creatures begins to burst forth, and he, like, helplessly scrambles out. He's, like, screeching and clawing his way out of the dirt. And as he does so, you begin to feel under your feet a slow vibration that gradually builds into a rumble and then a quake. I need a reflex save from everyone.
No. Okay, reflex ain't that bad.
Make sure you know, look at your saves, look at your PP.
Please give me this save with a minus -4.
Oh,
it's not good.
I'm pretty confident in my reflex, but I do have 3 PBs.
I do too, but I think the worst that'll happen is we'll just fall. I'm gonna save my PBs. Rolling with a plus +8. Here we go. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. All right.
12?
We die like men. That's a 19 for Monet.
Okay. What'd you get on your 2, Matthew?
14 for Tricky, 17 for Scarab.
Okay. And Rumor, you had a 12?
12.
And this is with everybody took a minus -4 on theirs?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
That's with it.
All right. You feel the ground begin to quake, and it shakes beneath you violently. You can also hear the muffled sounds of what sounds like screaming from beneath your feet. None of you are taken off balance by this. None of you fall prone, but the ground shakes so violently, and where that one zombie had emerged, suddenly a torrent of corpses erupt from the ground, as well as behind you, a torrent of corpses erupt from the ground, and to the north of you, a torrent of corpses erupt from the ground as a flood of undead, fetid flesh begins to form around you in a massive, macabre display of violence. Hungry are the dead.
Oh, okay.
You know, you say that, Monet is out of stamina. That last little bit of poison took away her last bit of stamina.
Oh.
Which is why I said, damn, she's dead. I think we should run.
Yeah. Possibly.
Fought four.
So this, are we kind of seeing this as the same horde that was at the gate, or is this worse? Uglier.
Each one is roughly the size of the one that was at the gate. That single zombie that's there is no more. He's tossed into the fold or destroyed completely by them erupting. Also, sorry, these are not placed correctly. They're not all directly on top of you. Don't worry. They are a bit off from there.
Okay, so...
But yes, there are 3 of these troops that have formed around you as the graveyard erupts to life again. And as they spill forth from the ground, toppling over each other, collapsing and forming this almost like moving wave of rotting bodies, the one persistent trait among all 3 of them is that hideous yellow glow that seems to like undulate almost like a sea of lava amongst the corpses. And you can see all of their eyes, their every orifice is glowing, any gashes, wounds or anything like that. There's this glow emanating from their bodies. And they slowly begin to stand from their positions. Roll for initiative.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Okay. Why's it gotta get serious again?
I fucking love it. I'm having so much fun right now.
Oh, gosh. Okay, baby.
I don't remember if we unlocked the gate or not. I know I wanted to.
We did not.
No, we did.
You did, but you locked it again.
Did we?
Rumor tested the key. He was like, I wonder if this goes to the gate. This is after y'all did before the other zombies popped out of the coffins. Unlocked the gate. He's like, oh, that's what it works for. And then he locked again to be sure because y'all weren't going at it yet.
Yeah, regardless, it doesn't matter because the holes are next to the gate.
Yeah.
You can go through the holes.
True.
Yeah. but we're up against a fence that doesn't look like it has holes.
How you guys looking health and stamina-wise?
I just told you.
I know you told me you're out of stamina. Have you dipped in HP at all,
no,
or are you just dead even?
That last bit was my last bit of stamina.
Okay. And Scarab?
Fine.
Yeah. Tricky too.
Yeah.
Completely good.
Doing okay.
Rumor has a...
We've been hit, but we're fine.
How's your health and spell situation looking?
Rumor's having the time of his life right now.
Beautiful.
Only half his stamina's gone.
Okay,
because when Imon says that, I don't trust him ever.
I know.
He's 5 HP. Dee-doo, dee-doo, dee-doo.
Time of his life.
So are we planning on staying? Because Monet is out of stamina.
Let's see who goes first.
Yeah.
I can say right here, after we get initiative. So, Monet, what you got?
Monet got a 22.
Scarab.
20. Let me triple million check. 27.
And Rumor.
29.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Good job, guys.
All right. Whew. As these corpses begin, you know, geysering forth from the ground, you can see that the flow is beginning to stop and they're slowly beginning to stand up and form into groups, but they are very slow. And so, Rootmore, you are first up. What would you like to do?
They're slow, huh? And the only time we're in difficult terrain is if they're all over us, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Something else to know is much like the first troop you faced and unlike the five zombies you just killed, these do not seem to have the same level of intellect as the ones you just fought. These are more slow. They seem more shambly. Almost as if... you could roll a knowledge check on it if you'd like. But I don't want to take your actions away.
No, he doesn't have time for that. Ooh, boy.
Can't walk and chew bubble gum.
Yeah. Well, I can just say they just look like they're slow at getting their stuff together.
Okay.
Yeah, those other guys... seemed scary. Like, if this was a group of them, this could be very, very bad.
Right.
But who knows what these become. I don't know. It's cool. Cool stuff. Love it. Love to be here.
I don't have a chance of getting out of here. Now is probably the time to run. I will buy you time and I will be okay.
And he will cast a 3-action heal. Okay. Hits all of them.
Range is good enough for all of them?
Yep, 30 feet.
Hell yeah.
Lay it out.
Hits all three swarms.
Lay it out, holy man.
He's going to heal Tricky, too.
Ooh, here is a pee-pee to give you disadvantage on your fortitude save.
Beautiful.
Oh, ho, ho.
Probably not going to get worse than that. Okay, first one gets a 2. Well, plus its bonus. Hold on. For a 13.
That is a fail.
Okay, the second one, the one to the west, the first roll I rolled is a 1, so it's not getting worse than that, so it's going to be a 12.
And you rolled a natural 1?
On that one, yes.
That's a critical fail.
Okay, and on the third one, 14 and a 5, so the 5 will be a 16.
Fail.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay. We're doing 3d8 hit points.
Except for
Do
the one that critically failed to the left
dice?
Is taking 68.
Yes.
Beautiful. Do you want friend dice or no?
Sure, why not? We'll do it. I need 2. Thank you.
You got 2?
Our friendship.
Thank you.
Sorry if it's sweaty.
It's okay, I'm sweaty too.
My hands are clammy.
Yeah, this is some good stuff.
It's an 8, a 5, and a 5. That's 18 for the fails.
Okay.
That's 18.
Hold on. Sorry, this is going to be a lot of math.
It could be big numbers, dude.
Hold on. Okay, so 18 off of that first.
Just area and spiritual.
Yes. Let me just right off the rip, go ahead and take 18 off of everything. All right, and for the critical hit?
14 additional. So 18 plus 14. What is that? 30, 41? No. 10, 20, 30. No, 31.
Rootmore, your unleashing of your holy healing energy decimates the hordes. All three of them take a tremendous amount of damage, and one of them, you strike them so fiercely that you can literally see you've cut away about a quarter of the zombies in the horde to the west. Immediately just drop dead.
Wow.
You almost feel like, I say a quarter, it's more like a third, almost half of the zombies just straight up are banished away by your holy light and left lifeless on the ground. You can see all around you immediately there are just wisps of this yellow light leaving the corpses and then seeping back into the ground.
Ooh!
Damn.
Back through hell, you godless fiends!
Never mind. I don't think we have to run.
All right, up next is going to be Scarab.
Yeah, so one action. Scarab's going to get on Tricky. Scarab's going to reload. And he's going to call out to Tricky.
Tricky! Yeah!
And they're going to run for two actions. And I believe that's all I can do.
Okay. Moving on. Monet, it's your turn.
Run towards gate.
Were any of these completely destroyed, or?
The oval one is now only taking up 12 spaces instead of 16.
I see.
Yeah, okay. He Cody said that you took out a quarter of that horde.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys remember from the troop that you were fighting before, you saw, like, as you damaged it, it, like, shrank and got smaller and smaller before you finally ended it. So, at this point, one of them has shrank once. And you do still have that whirling grindstone out.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking about. I think that Monet will sustain her whirling grindstone. You want to go ahead and take the grindstone's turn first?
Your choice.
I'd like to.
Do it.
Okay. So I'm going to move it, or it's going to move, and it will actually, I can move it inside of it, huh?
You can. Difficult terrain, but yes.
Not that it really means anything different. Actually, it's fine. All right, did it. Okay, so it's going to attempt to hit this horde.
Yeah, smash the southern horde.
Whip spin
natural
blade.
20.
Wow.
Yes. All right. Magic. Magic and a card.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a natural 20 in so long.
Oh my god.
Or I guess I don't know if this would, I don't remember if this counts as magic or piercing.
It's
or
a spell.
Magic.
It's a spell. Come on. If this is a cold bomb or spell, it's not a cold bomb or spell.
It is a spell.
It's a spell.
Oh. But it's not cold.
But oh, a cold bomb or cold spell. Oh. I see what you mean.
Word. Next card.
Yeah, switch to
another. No, there's something more to it. It says it takes triple damage and is slowed for one. Slowed two for one round. If it, or any other bomb or spell, it deals double damage.
Okay, so in this case, triple.
Okay. Sweet.
And then put that in the back.
Put that in the back. So
she's gonna chop up some zombies. What is this?
Triple damage. I'm gonna need some D6s, y'all.
You just walk into those zombies like Frank West with a lawnmower. Let's get it done.
Damn. 25 slashing damage.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. 27 slashing damage. And okay. 11 fire damage.
38 damage altogether, and that is an area attack. Okay, 38 points of damage plus a little weakness in there. All right, Monet, so your whirling grindstone takes off like a furious top, and it slams into this horde, and you can see it sending bodies, limbs, and goo flying in all directions. There's an orange blaze as the fire spins and whirls throughout the crowd. And before you know it, it is like running through it with a lawnmower. It has reduced the horde's size down to a mere 8 spaces.
Frank West, baby.
Neat.
So it's going to be a weird tall guy.
Okay. And with Monet's last two actions, she will run. Sustain is one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you don't want elemental blast?
No.
No.
That means actually, it is now the troops' turn. Up first, the horde to the north. Finally recovering from the blast of healing damage, they slowly begin to shamble your way, Rootmore. You see them kind of like twist and swarm around each other, some slower than others to realize. So the horde almost seems to like swing around itself before it is repositioned.
Thank goodness that tree was there.
It's like they're all holding hands. They have to go around the tree.
Chained together.
I kind of visualize it as like, you know, some of them are standing still. The ones in the back are like more aware, and they're like moving more to the front. And then the others are like, oh, we're moving? And they just start following too. So it's more like amoeba-like in how they move.
Flock of birds.
But they slowly begin to close in on you. And the first few ones, as they approach, reach out and attempt to scratch you.
I really, really think it's more likely that they didn't want to split the pole. They don't want to ruin any friendship.
Don't split the pole.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and need a reflex save from your Ripworn.
Okay.
I'm not made a face.
Oh, 19.
That's a success. You'll take half damage of 14, which is 7 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
And then the horde to the west, after seeing Tricky fly by and Monet, they all sort of like turn from Rumor's direction and are like kind of wiggle following you guys as well.
Over here!
And so they kind of spin around this way, but they're slow. So they just barely manage to get behind Tricky. And they will reach out and try to grab at him as well. Reflex save from Tricky, please.
Come on, Tricky.
Not good. 15.
That is a fail. Tricky will take 16 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
And finally, the horde to the south is going to make its way north up to Rootmore. So it does that same kind of shifting in your general direction as they all shamble, and so now you are slowly becoming sandwiched by the two hordes moving in. And as you're getting scratched on one front, you feel several hands grab you on the back as they claw at you as well. One more reflex save, please, Rootmore.
Okay. Natural 20.
Woo!
Beautiful.
Crazy!
Critical success means no damage, so as you feel,
yes!
You feel these fetid hands beginning to grab at the back of your armor. Maybe you can feel like a clawed hand like on your pauldron. You like wrench your arm away in time, and you can feel like
no touchy
bones snapping, and maybe you even see like a fingernail flick by as you wrench your armor free from their grip and reposition between the enclosing hordes. Which brings us to round two. Rootmore, you're up.
Another 3 action heal.
And he gets all of them again?
You reach all 3?
No, I can't reach all 3. That one stepped away.
It's 40 feet away, no?
No, 30-foot emanation.
What?
You could move first.
Yeah.
No, oh, 3 actions. You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the only thing.
So I was trying to cheat for you.
Nova blast going off in the distance as Rootmore's screaming in agony.
That's why I was like, no, we'll come back here. Like, you were just out of...
We need the wrong way.
30 feet with that one.
Please come back to me.
Oh,
I did roll to see who would go for it. And I was like, 2 out of 3.
I'm going to turn in another peepee. This one you gave me, Cody, for using the dagger for the well to keep the well from being used.
Right. Okay.
That was a long time ago. So a fortitude save at a disadvantage.
All right. We'll start with the northern one. Natural 6, natural 3, so that'd be a 14.
Okay, that's a fail.
And on the southern one, natural 5, and a 6, so 16.
That is also a fail. 17 positive area damage.
All right, we got to add some stuff here.
Beautiful.
That's all.
I want to see this animated. Big hot pillars of light.
Are they dead? Did he do it?
Are they still not dead?
Are they still undead?
Monet, did you have any like hit point damage when Rootmore did the first one?
No.
Oh, nobody did. Huh?
She's just
Tricky got 6 points.
Okay, cool. I forget to mention.
I forgot to ask, but I stole those little numbers. Take every little number I can.
All right, Rootmore. As your burst of holy light emanates from you again, you feel Korag's love and respect wash over you, and the horde just behind you that you narrowly avoided bursts into holy flames as all of them collapse to the ground in a clatter of bones. The horde in front of you, some of them still reaching out towards you, you can see the light envelop them and their hands like burn away, unraveling into ash, reducing the horde in front of you down to the same size as the one you did to the west. So you've diminished the number greatly of the horde in front of you, and the one behind you is no more.
This is such a fun fight as a cleric. Yeah, like, this is all you want when you're a cleric. Healing and killing at the same time. It's crazy.
All right, Scarab, what you got?
Because Tricky's, you know, he's following Scarab, but with these holy lights blasting off in the back, you see Tricky turn around. And you feel Tricky's fur, this voss, these vines growing, this moss off of him starts to raise into the air like static. And he turns straight around and Scarab's like, oh my god, okay. Tricky is going to... Scarab's going to give Tricky two actions. He's going to smash into the zombie horde in front of them. This is going to be a 25 to hit.
Yeah.
25 is a hit.
Not maximum damage. Not even close. This is going to be 12 points of bludgeoning damage. Damon. Tricky is going to swing again. Okay. 20 to hit.
Okay. Before that, 12 points of bludgeoning damage.
Yes.
The rest of you can see, after Rumor's like bursts of holy light, you hear Tricky squelch. Squelch? What's a good word for squeal, but like more guttural than that?
A good breathe.
So I don't mean squelch, but squelch is the feeling. You hear Tricky's battle cry, and as he begins like bucking and tossing his head around, he's just sending corpses flying, and they're clattering to the ground harmlessly. Some of them get back up slowly and shamble back into the fold, and others, they just lie still on the ground as the yellow light leaves their eyes. You have reduced the size of the horde again.
Get smaller.
Now a 20 to hit. 20
to hit.
Is a hit.
Ooh.
Shriek. Howl. Wail. Squall. Yop.
16 damage.
16 okay. damage.
Yeah. Tricky's over here doing deathcore. Scarab.
There are only a few of them left shambling about.
Woo-hoo. Scarab and Tricky are going to charge back towards Rootmore. Two strides to get right over here, and halfway through that, Scarab turns back and fires at the zombies.
Ooh.
Left standing. I've rolled 14s for every attack. That's going to be...
That's a crit.
Oh! We don't even need that this episode, finally. It's been the whole time.
Yes, again!
Yes!
Jeez, dude. 40 damage.
Oh!
Jesus Christ.
All right, if you'll allow me, I want to tell you how this looks in my head.
Go for it. I can't think straight now.
Because, I mean, imagine galloping past the horde after sending them flying. You're riding past. The cloak is billowing. You turn around in saddle, and you point your gun at the crowd. You can almost see for a moment the sleeve lifts, and you can see, like, the beginnings of vines and moss on Scarab's arm. And the gun begins to glow right before he pulls. And when you pull, we see the bullet leave the barrel of the gun, sail slowly through the air, and as it goes, you can see what few zombies were shambling about, some of them stumbling over the corpses of their fallen corpse brethren, and some of them are like mid-standing, so like one of them is like getting up, and the bullet goes through the side of his head, out the other side. And as it goes, there's another one that's slowly kneeling down as if to eat something. Bullet goes through his head, out the other side, and before you know it, the last remaining zombies just cleaves through each of their heads. Four zombies in a row, eviscerated by this bullet, and you kill the Western Horde.
Yeah, dude.
Back to the shadows from whence you came!
Reminds me of my old Halo 3 days with the sniper rifle.
Yeah, dude.
Boom, get triple like kill.
Yeah, yeah, just like, it's just a perfect shot. It's only happened like once, like taking out three dudes through the head.
Yeah, dude.
Let's go.
All right, that's it. Turn end.
Monet, you and your friends, emboldened by your onslaught, face down the last of the three hordes.
Are you going to try it?
I'm too far away.
Ah.
Well, that turns into a cat.
No,
That'd be so awesome.
I wish that you could go that far. I was planning on taking out the one that you took out, but...
How far can you move the Beyblade?
I can move the Beyblade up to the other horde.
Hell yeah.
So she will sustain. Do that.
Alright, roll the hit on these guys.
Roll the Beyblade. You know what? I want to feel cool.
Be cool.
I'm going to use a pee-pee.
Yeah, let's go.
Roll twice, take the better.
Let's get another crit. Bring the house down. Let's get a natural 20 on this one.
Not a natural 20, but a 27.
Not a crit.
Damn.
Very close.
Go ahead.
Crush and spin. Burn it away.
Big damage.
One, two, three.
Big magic.
So that is a 5 slashing, 1 fire.
Okay, but it is area, and it's not nothing.
Okay. Monet will do a 2 action elemental blast.
Yep.
At this guy.
Give him a hit, kids.
It's not going to be as good as when she do it melee, but that is a 30 to hit.
Oh my god.
Critical hit.
Nice.
Yeah!
So many.
What shape are you making this?
I'm not making it into a shape. She just, you know, she has her elements channeled swirling around her. And the small bits of metal flying around her start having little sparks of electricity arcing between them.
Bro, it'd be cool if you just took whatever statues in the middle of that fountain and threw it at the horde.
I would love to. Range is not big enough for earth or metal.
I see
this is
so cool.
Electricity.
We should be the X-Men sometime.
I see the bee attack from Cloud from Smash Brothers.
Oh, that, yeah, like the green wave.
Slash, that windy slash.
Big ol' smack, let's go, let's go.
Oh, double.
Yeah, it's critical.
I did double.
I know that feeling.
Double, there should be at least 30 dice on this.
So that is 19 electric.
And this is a single target or area?
It's a single target.
19. Nothing to sneeze at.
No, these are good
We're
hits.
We're slashing, whichever does more.
slashing actually does more.
Nice. Yeah.
Cool.
Undead don't like to be cutted up.
So it can do slashing for sure?
Yes.
Okay, Prince Zuko. All
right, Monet. So as you begin to channel your elements around you, is swirling the debris of all of these different things, electricity starts to build up. And you can hear it starting to hum through the air, the crackling going, just... And then it discharges with a... And there's, like, just a spread of lightning that flies across the field, right past Tricky, just over Scarab's head.
Giving Tricky some static...
Right in front of Rubemore. His mustache and beard go straight up in the air.
I can't see!
And it shreds through the horde, killing it.
Yeah!
Wow! Oh, you're not just saying that?
I'm not just saying that.
No.
That was just enough with it being slashing.
That's the thing. Wow. I feel like the hordes didn't start shrinking until they reached a threshold, and then it was like every time. I like these hordes. It's fun.
And as the last of the zombie hordes fall to the ground, for the first time since you got to this graveyard, there is once again peace. No more rumblings. No more growling. No more scratching. Hungry are the dead, but the dead remain as so. And that's all the time we have for this week.
The Curse Caravan uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy, paizo.com/community use. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. The Curse Caravan is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. The Curse Caravan theme music and the beat you're hearing now is written by Matthew.
Thank you.
We would like to thank Michael Gelfie Studios, the world reference for tabletop RPG audio, for the music and ambiance. Find out more at michaelgelfie.com. Check out their Patreon and YouTube links in the description. Also, don't forget to leave us a comment and rate us 5 stars, especially Apple Podcasts. I see a lot. That's most of our listeners, actually, on Apple Podcasts. We need some messages.
Awesome. Yeah, keep it going.
Thank you for listening on it. It's really helping us.
Prove your dedication.
Apparently, that's the place to do it, too. If you got Apple Podcasts, do it there. And everywhere else at the same time.
We got a comment on Spotify.
Do you know who it's from, or?
Yes. Maria.
Oh.
Did I not write that? I'm sorry.
No, we have a comment.
I'll wait to thank Maria. I've heard of this one.
From Maria. And it says, AAA, Felicia, and then... actually, I'll read how it's supposed to say. Aye, Felicia. And then emojis covering the mouth. Today is June 26th, and I'm listening to episode 10 of CKK B1E10.
Hey.
Yeah. Crown of the Cobalt King, book 1, episode 10. I love all of you, especially Felicia. And then a smiley face and 2 kissy faces. That's my mom.
We love you.
Thank you, Maria.
Love
you, Ma.
Thank you.
That, you guys remember that episode, right?
Yes.
Episode 10.
I do, because she talked to me about it.
Awesome. That's the one where we killed the warg.
Mm-hmm.
Scarab, you threw that that junk bomb.
Yeah, that's what I got from Little Homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the same episode as me as Scarab and the halfling screaming at each other?
I don't think so.
No. The other kobold.
No, the halfling at the shop, because we got items from all of them.
The gnome guy.
Oh, yeah, because
no, that was episode 8.
Okay. Yeah, because I feel like I got it at his shop.
Yeah.
That interaction. Yeah.
We all got something.
So early on, there were a lot of screaming back and forth with Scarab.
Yeah.
Two different people had a screaming match with Scarab.
I've definitely heard that a crowd favorite is that time at the shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very funny.
And I love it. It's so fun to scream and chill voices with my friends.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Maria, so much for sending that. Don't make fun of me.
Oh, let us know in the comments if you want a top-down camera. Comment everywhere. Comment everywhere all the time.
And let me know if you want my mom on the podcast.
Ah, that would be so good. Let's go.
I'll make her do all the voices.
Ave Maria, we need you.
Maria.
Yeah, if you guys have like a question or any topics, don't forget to email us at thecursedcaravan@gmail.com so we can answer you on the podcast. We did get an email from
if only I had it right in front of me.
Was it Squatty Potty?
No.
Oh, that'd be so
God
cool.
Dang it.
You want to sponsor us?
Who wants to sponsor us?
You guys make a lot of doo doo here.
hey, we too many tabs. Maybe doo doo, but we do make a lot of it.
But we do be making it.
We do got a lot of content for you guys to shit on whenever you want.
Yeah, Rabble Supreme. I don't know who it was, but apparently somebody in one episode was giving out hints saying we need a fourth player. Sorry for the confusion.
Oh yeah, sorry. Right now we are good.
Appreciate the hell out of that, but yeah, we if we do pick up a fourth, we would definitely announce it, and it would have to be in person.
And then who knows? Maybe try out someday. Still waiting for Justin to answer from the seller.
We really appreciate the interest, though.
Yeah, honestly, it is very sweet. And I understand from the position of your email that you were trying to be like, hey, I'm not trying to be weird. I don't think you're weird.
No.
Hey, I think you're weird.
Felicia thinks you're weird, but you never
Whatever.
Know what the future
thinks all. Everybody's weird.
Yeah. It is true.
Definitely. Thank you for
That's
listening.
That's not a bad thing. I didn't say it's a bad thing. I do think you're weird. I don't think it's bad that you're weird, but we're also weird.
And not good at the game.
It's true.
Thank you for listening.
Also, Rabel Supreme, if you know anything about Tremor, please let me know.
Yeah, what's the three? Yeah.
All of our contact information is in the description. Thank you for being a traveler on the Cursed Caravan.
You can delete this. I'm on my period. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom a lot.
Just throw it at the end of
that's
the episode.
That's a drop right there.
Bro, I would actually love that because I think that
you need
it's
more
important.
Representation.
Yeah. You can.
All right.
You can you
want,
cut it.
Do you want this to stay in because we keep talking about it?
Yeah, go for it. Okay. Bro, I bleed from my vagina like pretty often and it makes me suffer.
Felicia, you can't talk about that.
Hey, ladies!
All right, everybody. I'm going to go home, enjoy the episode. I'll see you later.
All right, we'll see you in a bit.
Period, man.
She gotta go home. She gotta
I'm
go,
sensitive.
You gotta go back to the house to pee again.
Oh my god, I forgot everybody's names.
Look, all I'm
my
gonna
name's
say.
My name's Ahmad. That's Felicia, and that's Matthew.
Thank you so
Hi,
much.
Hi, welcome to the Cursed Caravan.
You're Cody.
All I'm gonna say is the other day I started my period, and I had to take a nap because I was dizzy because I was bleeding out. Yeah. I was dizzy from blood loss, and I just want y'all to know that. PCOS girlies and endo girlies, I get you. I get the pain and I love you. And Ahmad, you still have the out. You don't have to put this in there, but I would appreciate it because representation, it fucking sucks. And I love you guys.
I'll leave it in.
We're all about to bleed out. Get ready to get dizzy, boys and girls, because we're going to bleed out in this combat.